Hi, and welcome to A Mixed Bipolar Disorder Life, a mixed ultra rapid bipolar roller coaster. And yes, it is. I also want to mention that I do have a blog as well. It is bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. So you can get a bunch of other lovely tidbits in there. I haven't done my last blog post there, but you will find this hopefully my last podcast. So here we go. Hey guys, I promised someone on the website that I would do a last podcast. They were asking, they were saying that I hadn't done one in a while. So I have been wanting to do a last one, and it is the last one because the good news is I've been quite stable. So I've been taking Lamictal. For me, that has been my wonder drug for my ultra rapid cycling bipolar disorder. I will tell you, the first time I went on it at a therapeutic dose, and remember, I am a low dose person. I don't remember what the dose was, but we started low, and it felt really strange. It didn't feel normal to me, and I just felt flat, right? And literally, that's almost what, I mean, to me, that's what I felt like. And of course, I have ups and downs, highs and lows. But yeah, it just felt really strange. And I remember telling my psychiatrist about this. By the way, I've switched psychiatrists three times. Technically, I'm on my third, last 3 years. And don't be afraid to do this, just because the first two really had ego problems. But anyways, he said to me, well, that's what it's like to feel normal. You know, we can debate the word normal here, but I think what he was trying to say is that's what it's like for people that don't have bipolar disorder to feel like. I wouldn't know, honestly, because I only feel what I feel. But yeah, it took a while to get used to it. I think being used to, getting used to being a, you know, ultra rapid cycler, possibly cycling every 30 minutes. So to stop doing that, that would be a really, really odd feeling. I'm sure you can imagine. I hope some of you can imagine that. I hope some of you have experienced a more stable place. It's amazing to me where I've come in the last 30 years now since I started on this journey. And just terms of like getting from a place where I was over-medicated to forgetting it. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're doing, because they did way over-medicate me, and especially being a low-dose person, to not believing in medications, to trying everything else, holistic, etc., which, you know, I wish would work. I do try herbs and essential oils and all sorts of other things that do work, but haven't found the secret to this yet. But anyways, so I've been feeling really stable on that. I do, however, have times I have to increase the meds. Recently, I had to increase them more than I ever have at one time because I had surgery, and the surgery, it's considered major surgery, though it was just on my arm, but it was a bad fall, and they had to put Humpty Dumpty back together, as I say. So it just completely messed with my chemistry, and I started having mixed symptoms. So when I have mixed symptoms, I mean, I talk about it, but, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there so you know. Mine are, the worst ones are, you know, it's late at night. I am on clonazepam for my tics, for the Tourette's, so that probably helps in the evening. But my body seems to wake up at 10 p.m., and that's when I start getting a little jittery. And for me, I can't sleep. And I have what's called increased libido, and I cannot fall asleep until I've taken care of that. And when the symptoms are bad, I have to take care of that a few times. And I just have to, like, I can't sleep unless I do it. And it drives me crazy because I don't want that. I don't want to feel that way. On the other hand, of course, I do want to have some sort of libido being in a relationship. But so I started having that, and I had increased my libmictal another 25. So right now, or let's go back before that, I was at 225. We started 100, 150, went to 200. All those times I thought it was fine, unless it peters out, which that is a possibility. But now, in any case, I had increased it to 225 and then to 250, then to 275. So finally at 275, I feel really good. I mean, not only do I feel stable, I feel much happier and less depressed than I was before. But I didn't realize I was as depressed. And I think that's the really difficult thing, is especially when someone is in that type of functional depression where you have no idea that you could feel better than you do right now. You may know you're not feeling good, but you don't realize how depressed you are. So that has been a win-win. I don't like having to keep raising my doses constantly, not constantly, but, you know, periodically. That is no fun at all. But it's been necessary. I did talk to my doctor, you know, is there a time where I can go back to where I was? And he said about 6 months. But quite honestly, I feel like I'm doing so much better on the 275. You know, I could drop it to 250 and see where I'm at. But this seems like a really good place to me. The only weird thing I'm experiencing is that I'm still, like, crying easily. I still feel very teary-eyed. And it could be related to losing a parent. It's been over 2 years. And the anniversary was in June. And it is now, where is it? What is the month? June. No, the anniversary is in June. His anniversary was in March. June is, they're different anniversaries. I suddenly had to remember what the heck month is it. But in the March anniversary, it was just very, very hard. So Mother's Day, Father's Day, birthdays, Christmas, other holidays, etc. So I've been a little teary-eyed from that, but I don't feel depressed. The other thing that's really helped me is I don't feel as overwhelmed. It turns out that I also have, get this, ADHD. It only took them, I don't know. I guess they don't diagnose it when you're, I don't know how young do they diagnose it, but it only took them about 40 years to diagnose. Made me a little sad considering I would think, you know, I would have done much better in school, so forth. If I had known, if they had treated me. There were symptoms. There were a couple people, at least, that told my mom they thought I was hyperactive, is which they call, what they called it then. But she just thought it was normal kid stuff. The reason why is because I lost all structure when I went on disability. And I also became less depressed. So when you add both of those, So I had energy, and I'd be running around the house and be doing this and that, kind of like how right now I'm doing this podcast, but I really just wanted to get it done. When you have ADHD, you have strong difficulties, depending on the severity, of course, but mine's pretty severe, so I just say I cannot prioritize. I have a really difficult time prioritizing. So, for instance, doing a podcast when I have lots of other things to do, or making a phone call, which I could do later, or making several phone calls, which I could do later. And the problem is it'll be late, you know, it'll be afternoon before I've even eaten my breakfast. Sometimes really late before I've eaten my first meal in the evening. And that's not good. And I've lost a lot of weight. I did go off the, I can't remember when I did my last podcast, but I did go off the, Zoloft, and I switched to Paxil. Now, I thought it was the Lamictal making me gain weight. Turns out it was the Zoloft. So on the Zoloft, it went from like a 6 to 810. And now off the Zoloft, I'm on Paxil. And I've lost all that weight. But the problems is with the ADHD, not eating enough, I am now like a size 4. So I really like to get back up to my size 6. There's tons of clothing in my closet I cannot wear. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that, the back and forth and the weight. But anyways, I did want to tell you about the ADHD. Clearly, my brain, I'm sure some of your others, many brains are what we call, my new word, neurodivergent. It certainly sounds much better. I think there are a lot more neurodivergent brains out there than we realize. But I also realize that there's some advantages. There's some advantages, believe it or not, to having ADHD. There are advantages to being autistic. You know, some people might say, what? Advantages to being autistic? But there are. There are special skills. When the brain is neurodivergent, you can have special skills that people who have a less of a neurodivergent brain don't have. But of course, people that don't have neurodivergent brains can have special skills too. What I'm trying to say is that disorders is such a negative word. And we may have strengths that we don't even realize from these brains that people want to call not normal. And diagnosis they want to call disorders. So maybe it's more the norm than not the norm. Anyways, I haven't done the stats myself. So I'm going to backtrack here. For some of you that have noticed my clearing my throat, which I don't notice until someone mentions it or I listen to my own recordings. And it does embarrass me when people ask, or at least it has embarrassed me more. I've gotten over it. I've gotten to the point where I'm just like with you guys, hey, I have Tourette's and I have a vocal tic and I have motor tics. And that is how I am diagnosed with Tourette's specifically. You can have a motor tics and not be diagnosed with Tourette's. You have to have both the vocal and the motor tics. So got that out of the way. So let's backtrack here to, excuse me, to going on Lamictal, feeling flat, which is the new normal, raising my dose and feeling much better, having a lot less depression, a lot more motivation, problems with the motivation and the ADHD, motivating to do things I don't need to be doing right now, caused a lot of havoc in my life, a lot of, I don't know, havoc, but just I felt so overwhelmed. I was having many meltdowns like twice a week when it was really bad because I was helping my other parent who did not pass do so many things, practically everything. So I was taking on that role of the spouse while trying to live my own life, take care of my own needs. I also take care of another family member's needs. So it was just too much. But I did find some better boundaries with that. I was being on the 275 now, I realized that I was more depressed than I realized. I kept thinking I wasn't depressed, I guess in the denial, talking to myself. Well, I don't know, as denial is just not remembering, kind of remembering times going, well, I wasn't like this before, but I don't know, making excuses for it, I guess, thinking that it wasn't depression. But when we raise it to 275, I have a lot more motivation. I don't have problems getting out of the house. I don't get tired as much in the afternoons, which I just thought was my new normal. For my age, I'm aging, you know? So there are some good reasons to bumping it up and trying it out, starting really low, 25 milligrams of the Lamictal. It's stages, it's been stages. I joked to my girlfriend who, when she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I kind of knew it before she was diagnosed because she would just have these moments, these up moments where she wanted to start companies, you know, let's start a company. And then she kind of disappeared for a while. So, she was also mixed, but she went on, I'm trying to remember the medication she went on. It was one of the other new ones. And suddenly everything was great and she didn't have to change her dosage at all. And I was just like, I'm so envious. Like, it's been such a journey, such an up and down road with me with medications and this whole thing. As far as sleep, I still have sleep challenges. I take a little dose of Seroquel. I have 25 milligrams. I will often cut that into half, so 12.5, when I'm feeling pretty regulated. I know I don't have to get up in the morning earlier than normal. And I have to tell you, my normal is like 10 hours, and I don't know if that's the Lamictal, but anyways, I will take and if it's early enough, I will take a 25 to just get good sleep if I haven't been getting good sleep. I do find that if I stay up much later than, for me, 2 a.m., just because my sleep cycle is shifted, which sounds like the circadian rhythm disorder, delayed phase sleep disorder, although I didn't have it years ago, which I still blame Prozac for giving that to me on a combination of the temazepam. Could have just been the temazepam. But, and the ADHD, by the way, is why I kind of go from this thought to that thought to that thought. So the sleep, what works for me, and it's different for everyone, is not going to bed past 2 a.m. Between 1 and 2 a.m. are good times for me. So I notice if I go past 2 a.m., I may wake up the same time in the morning, but I just don't feel good at all. I feel tired, and if I go too many days, then I probably will start cycling a little bit or start having mixed symptoms. I think the cycling is much better. It's but having the mixed symptoms. I mean, there is cycling, but I don't think it's as extreme. Maybe. Sometimes you just don't pay attention, right? But usually for me, it'll be those symptoms I discussed previously. And then if it gets a little worse, I'll be feeling depressed and have, crying easily. Like I said, right now, I don't feel depressed at all. I don't feel overwhelmed. I feel strong and capable and like, okay, I've got my schedule, I can handle it. It is busy, but I'm doing it. So to me, that must mean I'm not depressed, and I was depressed before. I'm really hoping I don't have to raise it anymore. I don't want to go through a period of my life where I'm constantly having to raise my Lamictal every time I have mixed symptoms, right? Sometimes if you wait it out as long as you can before raising it. In this circumstance, it was a little more urgent. I just had to. I couldn't deal with it. Otherwise, I just wouldn't sleep. I'd be so restless all night. And I think a lot of us have gone through that, right? Because we're mixed, we don't have that euphoria. It's no effing fun to not be able to sleep when you're not euphoric, when you're not happy. You're like the worst. You're just hating it. So, let's see, what else did I want to talk about here? I don't want to continue this rest of my life, mainly because, you know, it is bad on the liver and kidneys. I don't like being on a lot of medication, as least as possible. In my book, just to give you my cocktail right now, aside from the Lamictal, I take 0.5 or 5 milligrams of clonazepam twice a day for my tics. And that is really necessary. Tics are no fun at all, especially if you're sitting next to someone on the couch and you're like slapping them with your hand. Just the total restlessness in general. I am on the Paxil, as I said. I take a half of a 10 mil, so I take 5. Remember, I am a super low dose person, and taking just a little bit of an SSRI helps with my anxiety. And I believe that's pretty rare from what I hear, especially for people with bipolar disorder. Because literally if we raise it, I don't become hypomanic. I become extremely apathetic. And I am on the Seroquel, as I mentioned, 12.5 to 25 milligrams. If I take more than 25, I am asleep until 1 p.m. or later. What else am I on? I take an allergy pill. I'm just kind of going. I'm taking now for my ADHD. I've added atomoxetine, which is Strattera. I'm taking 50 milligrams of that. I cannot raise it past 50 milligrams because otherwise I start having mixed symptoms, which is a bummer because it doesn't work as well as I'd like it to for my ADHD. I guess I could have taken some medication before doing the podcast, but I did not. So wandering mind here and trying to go through my head and the medications I take in the evening. I think that's it from evening pills. So not too much, but there's still a lot of pills to take. I am taking some vitamins and some herbs that I've really recently discovered for osteoporosis. It turns out I have early onset osteoporosis, which does run in the family. I'm now taking a Chinese herb called, I don't know how to pronounce it right, but Dryernia. It has a Chinese name as well. You can look that up. We'll see from the bone density check, let's say in several months, maybe 6 months. And they did put me on a medication for that as well, but I had to stop taking it when I had a broken bone. And so they told me 6 months off that. And that's the alendronate, something like that. What is it called? I can't think of the name, but it's very common for osteoporosis. And so I was taking that once a week. And I am taking an herb I discovered that is, to me, a miracle anti-inflammatory. I don't know why no one else knows about this, or hardly anyone else. You know, turmeric, I was taking that before. I have switched to Boswellia. That's B as in boy, Oscar, Sam, W, Edward, wait, Boswell, Lion, India, Apple, Boswellia. And you can easily get that at Swanson's or Amazon. I learned about by accident doing some research on my dog who was having lots of inflammation, trying to figure out what's going on with her. And there, I saw this dog supplement with Boswellia and SOD. So SOD is something else you might want to look into. I can't remember what it stands for, really long name, but Sam, Oscar, David, it is a super antioxidant. So I started taking that as well. So there's this dog treatment with SOD and Boswellia. I bought that. I'm holding off and giving her that right now until she gets to a more stable place. But I started taking both. The Boswellia is amazing for inflammation, and I mean amazing, at least for me. I don't even feel like I need the turmeric anymore. So yeah, I recommend you check it out for inflammation. You know, they have discover that inflammation causes a ton of diseases, and perhaps even inflammation in the body brain causes our symptoms. I don't know. All I know is it helps with my inflammation in my arthritis, which is also early onset, and lucky me, right? And like if you know any kind of inflammation in the body, tendonitis, carpal tunnel, that kind of thing. And anything else you might be able to think of. So that's where I'm at, guys. When I get to, eventually, I will do a little blog post. But the podcasts, as you know, as you can imagine, are so much easier than taking the time to write something out. And I hope all of this has helped you. I do believe this will be my last podcast. I have heard from many of you that has helped you. For me, that's a blessing. This is why I do it, to share, to educate, to help people. I will tell you, I did have my, whatever your beliefs are, I did have my oracle cards reading, my life purpose, and one of them was to educate, and the other one was writing. one was writing, one was author, and two reads. I do believe in that, and I have been more and more. There's some amazing, amazing things to spirituality. And I'm just going to throw this in there to some of you that are really skeptical. If you want to learn the meaning, or not, if you want to learn the meaning of life, go check out Michael Newton's Journey of the Souls. It's quite incredible, and it is credible. So he did a lot of research, and I'm just going to let you discover it on your own. And there are a lot of people on TikTok. They aren't fake. There are some fake ones, but there are a lot of really reputable people on TikTok that read cards, that do mediumship. I have had readings, multiple readings from mediums, and they are 100% legit. So I do recommend, if you don't already believe, you open your mind to the possibilities. And to be open-minded, you have to do some research. So, all right, guys, I wish you all the luck. I send you all a lot of virtual hugs and lots of love. Let's do hope. This is my last podcast. And I pray and hope that you all find that perfect solution for you on this very roller coaster journey of life in general. It is a roller coaster, isn't it? All right, everyone, take care.